Very true story. I was really proud of myself. I did not blanch or flinch or cringe at the chicken foot in my soup. I had been warned that there might very well be a chicken foot in my soup. And it's really weird to see a chicken foot without a chicken attached to it. So it was just cut off the chicken's leg. Let's hope it was cut off the chicken leg after the fact, after the chicken's untimely demise. But yeah, it's very jarring to see a chicken foot, but no other part of the chicken in your soup. So I did a good job of eating the rest of it and just believing that they had washed the chicken foot. But part of the issue in other countries is that their water sometimes can cause issues for us. Right. So it was one of those situations where I was praying and just believing that I was going to survive said chicken foot in my soup. I did, actually. This was the second trip to Ecuador. My first one, I got salmonella on my last day there. Oh, it was awful. I traveled back with salmonella. You want to talk about just the worst experience, travel experience of my life. Getting the salmonella. Well, so eating essentially undercooked chicken on the side of a mountain. This is in Ecuador up in the Andes Mountains, so 2 miles above sea level. And the people were so friendly, so hospitable, so kind, so generous. And on our last day there, we'd been working in these couple villages, playing soccer with little kids and sharing school supplies with them. And, you know, just trying to encourage them and support them and getting them together and stuff. And so I was working mostly with kids, but we had been we'd been working with a couple of these small little churches in the village, mostly that meet in people's homes. And they invited us for a lunch. And we wanted to say yes, of course. And it was very kind of them. They served us what we thought was a grilled chicken. And super hot. It wasn't cold, but it wasn't hot. It was more like lukewarm. But in many other countries, they don't eat their food real hot or cold. They essentially eat it lukewarm. So I just ate it. I didn't feel great about it, but I ate it. An hour and a half later, I could feel something was horribly wrong, as in really bad. And I knew something was happening. I was hoping that I would just throw up and get it over with, but that's not what happened. I read this after the fact. I didn't know it at the time. But salmonella can take 24 to 72 hours to manifest. And so we left that night. We left and took a bus because we were way up in the mountains. We left and took a bus back to Quito, which is where our flight was leaving from the next day. So we're in a hotel in Quito that night. And I woke up in the middle of the night, sweating profusely, feeling like I had the flu. I was able to get up out of bed, get into the bathroom, use the bathroom, didn't throw up, but just my stomach was all a mess. And I remember walking out of the bathroom. I can see this so clearly. Walking out of the bathroom. So I had to turn on the light. It was a really bright light. So I was kind of blinded going back into the hotel room. My travel partner, you know, in the other bed, she was sleeping. And I had turned off the light in the bathroom. Couldn't really see. Not that it mattered, because seconds later I blacked out and thankfully fell forward. I was feeling so terrible and I was dizzy and I was nauseous that I fell forward onto the bed and woke up who knows how much later, had passed out onto the bed. Had to travel that way. So it was really flu-like symptoms for the first couple of days. Just awful. I lost 7 pounds in 3 days. It was mostly water weight, but it was just awful. And so after that, I was very leery about eating any type of meat outside of the United States. Certainly chicken. Even now, I cannot cook raw chicken. That's just, I can't even look at it really. So when we have chicken, my husband's great. He cooks it. We had just had chicken tacos a couple of nights ago. And so he cut up the raw chicken and he sauteed it in a pan. We can't use our grill right now because our backyard's the big dig. There's a little building project going on, but boy, is it a like ginormous hole. Anyway, so yeah, the chicken foot, that was mild compared to the salmonella that I ended up with later. In retrospect, I should have stuck with the foot because I bet that couldn't have given me salmonella.
Food poisoning, salmonella is the worst feeling in the world.
It was awful.
Over here, awful. For a snowstorm, I stayed in the city, and I ended up getting eating something around here, then I got sick. And
New York City, for people who don't know.
And you feel it, right? Like you said, you feel sick right away, or a little. You feel it when you feel it bubbling up, and then you, for about 5 hours straight, every hour, you're in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. That's enough details. No more details.
Back to you.
And back to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for joining us. 855-212-4227. We've got the Game of the Week poll up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. As usual, this is really my goal. I voted for the least popular option, at least early returns. This will run until Sunday, right before kickoff of the early games. Also, just put it up on our Facebook page. Of course, you're always welcome to write in your own game. And we did have a fairly lively discussion about which game it would be that would round out the four. So again, you can check that out, Twix or Facebook After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just asked producer Pete, what are you doing this weekend? And his response was really nothing, just kind of hanging out. And I know that's critical when you work these overnight hours because you don't get to be on the same schedule as your family for most of the week. So that's how Bob and I feel. We're just so thankful to have the same schedule for 2 days, although now during football season, Sunday is spent not completely in front of the TV, but most of it for me. So I think he's got big plans of doing something else while I'm watching football on Sunday. At least we get to go to church together in the morning, so that's nice. But otherwise, Sunday now becomes a work day. And so I asked Pete about hanging out this weekend with his family, and I'm really excited for you to do that. Wondering, though, how your sleep schedule has adjusted 2 weeks in.
I'm actually getting sleep. I feel much better. Much better than it was last week. Last week was rough.
The first couple of days, I'm sure, was rough. I don't know what it is. Maybe just the travel of last weekend, leaving my house on Thursday night after watching Thursday Night Football, doing the show, going straight to the airport, and then not getting back until Sunday, right before kickoff, having to get my husband on Monday. So really the entire football weekend, we were out of our routine, and it's taken like a week to get back into it. So thankfully we feel like we're finally back into it. That messed with my sleep a little bit. So we are going to do something fun on Friday afternoon, though. Pretty excited about this, although it could be really comical. I have not played a round of golf in 2 years. Okay. So I did not play last year. And I have not played a round of golf yet this year. And I'm not saying this is in any way blaming Bob, but we both have given up different things to try to make first the long distance relationship work, then the wedding planning. And obviously him moving here, it's just been a big adjustment. We had the three weddings we had to go back for, plus my brother's milestone birthday. So we just had a lot of other stuff on our plates. Moving, it took us about 5 months to get comfortable in the house. And so for that reason, you know, there's a couple of different favorite activities or hobbies, if you will, that we each love and we haven't had a chance to do much. He hasn't gone fishing this year, and there's plenty of places to fish in New Jersey. He has his fishing license. He's working on getting his boating license so that we can rent a boat, but he hasn't been able to do that yet this year. I have taken him to the driving range a few times. He doesn't play golf or hasn't since he was much younger and really is full of trepidation about what it's going to be like to be on the golf course. But we did book a tee time for Friday afternoon, just 9 holes. And it's an easy, quote unquote, it's an easy course. It's mostly like a par 3 course, if you will, where you don't have a hole longer than 200 yards. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm a little nervous because I haven't played a round in 2 years. And he's not played around in probably 2 decades. So it should be extremely comical. What we're hoping for, please pray, we're hoping that we're not paired with another couple. Because if we are, it could be embarrassing for us. Although I told him, I said, as long as you and I are together, I'll be fine. I don't love joining as a single another couple, because then you're kind of on your own.
Tag along.
Yeah, exactly. But you're also on your own. You don't have anyone to look for your ball. I mean, that's part of the issue with playing solo. I know there are a lot of golfers that don't mind playing solo, but and I don't mind it so much in terms of like the actual playing. I don't mind being alone on the golf course, but you're not supposed to be looking at your ball when you hit it. So if you don't know what your ball went, you don't have anyone to spot for you, then you're kind of SOL. And so, yeah, we're excited about it. I don't know how it's going to go. Like I said, he's not played in years, although we've gone to the driving range a few times and I've not played in forever. Also, it dawned on me after we made the tee time that he doesn't have clubs. He's been using my clubs. He doesn't own a pair of clubs. I don't know if they're going to make him rent or if they're just going to, because it's a par three course, just allow him to use my clubs. So that could be another thing where he just has to rent a bag with like four clubs in it or something. And then he would use mine anyway. So yeah, we act like amateurs, or we're going to be like amateurs going out there, like starting from scratch. But it could be, yeah, it could be a lot of fun and we could really enjoy it and decide we want to do it again, or he could decide he never wants to golf again or with me again. So I'm a little bit nervous, but we're just going to rip the bandit off, get back out there and see what happens.
So sometimes you have to do that. But I would get a couple of rounds at the mini golf course just to get your limbs loose and then go and then drive it. I see. I don't play golf.
Yeah.
So I played golf once. It was a lot of mulligans.
Well, we did the driving range and we had fun with it. Mini golf is kind of dumb because all you do is putt. Sorry, I think mini golf is stupid. Not stupid. I just don't enjoy it. I don't know.
That's fair.
And most of the time, they don't even resemble real greens. It's turf in many cases, or like that fake grass. So it really doesn't help you putt much. It's, I don't know, I guess in terms of reading the speed. So yeah, the mini golf is not my favorite thing, but I guess it's fun if you go on vacation with your family. So this is going to be a huge challenge, just to see how it works out. And I think he and I will laugh. If we don't get kicked off the course, we should be all set. Maybe he'll want to do it again because I love him dearly. I don't want to change him. I've always wanted to marry someone who played golf. And so he's willing to try it to see how it goes. I don't know that it'll be something we do together, but I would love that. So we'll see. This is our first test on the golf course. I just got a couple of messages at A-Law Radio. Paul says, it depends how chicken foot is prepared. Chicken foot is actually very healthy and it is very high in collagen. I don't care. I'm not gnawing on chicken foot. I'm not doing it.
No chance.
No. Do you know where those chicken feet have been? I'm not gnawing on a chicken foot. Also, it's just, yeah.
I'd rather just have a bucket of collagen.
It seems like it's like gnawing on wire. Just, yeah, there's not much to it. Gnawing on a bone, I know it's cartilage.
Just
but
a travel path, as you documented earlier.
No, thank you. And then Patrick wants to know, how did I eat chicken or meat before I was married? Were I vegetarian? No, what?
No one's
ever asked me that before. I only ate chicken in restaurants. So, of course, I would prepare other meat. I said, maybe Patrick, you misunderstood me. I said I did not eat chicken or meat outside of the country after getting salmonella. Right. And I don't love to handle raw chicken, so I do not handle it myself. I'll eat it out. For instance, whenever I get Thai food, I'll get yellow curry with chicken. No biggie. When he cooks it, I'm fine. No problem. I just don't really like to see it or handle it raw now because it kind of gives me the bleh. But no, I'm not a vegetarian. I love meat. I love beef. I eat all. Oh my gosh. I love lamb. Big fan of all things meat and seafood and fish. Wasn't cooking raw chicken. Was I a vegetarian until I got married? No one's ever asked me that. Ever. No, I was only a vegetarian outside the country. That was the only time that I would abstain from eating meat.
I will say that I'm not a vegetarian either. There's no chance I will be. I like meat too much. But there's been a couple times where I've gone maybe a week or so without meat. And you do feel better.
Well, I guess it depends on what you say about feeling better. I think that'd be different from human to human.
It's like less weighed down, at least for me.
Interesting. All right. I have no issues with eating meat. I think the protein is a big deal, but I eat a lot of eggs too. Love dairy, so milk and cheese, lots of fruit, lots of vegetables. But yeah, I mean, every now and then I'll do a week where I don't eat meat on one day. Red meat. I do a lot of turkey. So I do a lot of ground turkey instead of ground beef. I make my chilies, a lot of my chilies with ground turkey. You can't even tell really the distance. It's just in terms of the, you know, the fat, the grease. You have to salt it a little more. But no, I love meat. I'll never not eat meat, except for when I'm out of the country. That was really the point. No one's ever asked me if I'm a vegetarian. Huh.
Asked me anything on Friday.
Yeah. All right, at A-Law Radio. If you too have questions about me eating chicken feet, also on our Facebook page, the poll is now up. So choose the after hours game of the week. Couple things to talk about in terms of setup for week two. Did you see the NFL viewership numbers? So the TV ratings from week one? Oh, yeah, they're up again. But also, there's a couple of other things, too, I think are worth mentioning. The Bengals and the Chiefs have a big game this weekend. Jamar Chase did not get his deal, and there is apparently one critical reason why he did not get his deal. We're also, of course, keeping our eyes out for any type of an update on Tua or any type of a post from Tua or his family. At this point, I hope he's sleeping, although you know they say it's scary to sleep. Well, you're not supposed to sleep when you have a concussion. So I don't know what happens there. Poor guy. He's probably really tired.
I wonder if he's getting being observed, like
maybe
like by medical team, either with him at home or at a facility.
I remember one time in the last 10 years, I had a concussion. I slipped on some friend's stairs. So they were wooden stairs. They were uneven. And I had a pair of socks on because it was raining outside. So I'd taken off my shoes. And my socks slipped out from underneath me on a narrow step. And I landed on my hip, my left shoulder, and then the back of my head smacked into one of the steps. And I did definitely have a concussion because I remember I got home, so I drove home. I had ice pack on my head because I had a big knot. Drove home, and I was so, so tired. And I remember I thought to myself, you're not supposed to take a nap when you have a concussion, but I was so tired I couldn't keep my eyes open. So I prayed, dear God, please wake me up after this nap. And I lay down. I slept for 5 hours without waking up. I never sleep 5 hours without waking up. But then I remember I did wake up. It was an evening. I was supposed to go to a Devils hockey game, and I just felt awful. I couldn't. There was no way I was going to be able to get in a car and drive. Thankfully, I was very woozy. Thankfully, the next day I was okay, but I did sleep. Now, I remember it was a pretty sound sleep.
You're lucky with that fall. It wasn't anything worse. That's a nasty fall.
I know. It was pretty nasty. My friend was mortified. She heard my head smack against the wooden steps, and yeah, it was. I remember it. It was pretty painful. All of me. I felt very old that day, not to mention a pretty wicked headache. At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too, it's quickly becoming a football Friday. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Two in the shotgun with Wilson to his right. Takes the snap, back to pass. Looking over the middle, pressure coming. Has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night goes pick six.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, what a night for Jamarcus Ingram. Not only does he have a pick six that really sealed the scoring and sealed the fate of the Dolphins early in the third quarter, as you hear with Chris Brown on the Bills radio network. But he also had the first interception of Tua on their opening drive at the beginning of the game. So kind of neat for him as a cornerback to have this breakout game as he's trying to hook on with the Bills.
It's unbelievable, for those guys to, embrace me, ever since I got here, they just, embraced everything that I do, my work ethic, my mindset, my mentality, and I'm just grateful for those guys, to support me in these moments, because it's been a journey.
Yeah, talking about his first full season now with the Bills, And being able to play and have such an impact in this first game or this first road game for them, but first AFC East game, really exciting for him to, I guess, to earn that street cred so much with your teammates. They know that you can do the job after the practice, after the training camp. And I love the fact that he's got a gigantic smile, too. If you've not seen it, you want to talk about a smile that lights up a room. Congratulations to Jamarcus Ingram. And with all the changes and the transition on the defensive side of the ball, he could be instrumental. Also, just celebrated his birthday, actually, on Labor Day. So happy belated birthday to Jamarcus, just 27 years old. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bills and Dolphins took a drastic turn in that second half. We'll talk more about Tua coming up next hour, but if you missed it, suffered another concussion, and this was a tackle made by DeMar Hamlin, but not on DeMar. Tua was stretching out his run and trying to get an extra yard and lowered his head instead of sliding really just right into the stomach of DeMar Hamlin. But you can imagine how DeMar feels after his own injury and the cardiac arrest that he suffered on the field with the whole world watching. I certainly can understand what it feels like to be Tua in that moment. We've got our poll up, the After Hours Game of the Week, on our Facebook page, but also online. At A-Law Radio, our show account at Amy After Hours. Votes already pouring in, and right now, neck and neck between Bucks-Lions that we just talked about. They last played going back to late January. Bengals-Chiefs, which, of course, they've got a storied history, even though it's just for the last couple of years. But if you remember, the Chiefs kicking off on that Thursday night game and the impact of Xavier Worthy out of Texas, the rookie wide receiver. He brings them a ton of speed. And so people are paying attention to him. He even had Tyreek Hill tweeting about him on that night as he took his first handoff and just cut right through the heart of the defense on Thursday night football. This game against the Ravens, and without getting touched, guys had bad angles. They really never got a hand on him. He takes his first NFL handoff and goes 21 yards to the house, but also had a receiving touchdown as well. So to have to account for him now as defense's game plan for the Chiefs, even more so, it just more complicated. Though Cam Taylor-Britt of the Bengals not buying that Xavier is anything special.
That's about it. He can run straight.
Oh.
Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him, he's only 100-some pounds. So if you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
Oh, okay. So he's only a lightweight, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. But if you're Cam Taylor-Britt, he's one of the secondary cornerbacks for the Cincinnati Bengals, just get a hand on him and that'll be fine. Well, maybe it's easier said than done to try to get a hand on him. I love that. Just get a hand on him and you'll be fine. So this would be a lot of fun. Joe Burrow, so much been made of the way he picked up a water bottle last week. I mean, I tweeted this earlier on Thursday before the game kicked off. It blows me away that in 2024 in sports, we scrutinize and analyze how a quarterback picks up his water bottle. Maurice Jones-Drew, I think it was Maurice Jones-Drew, who was on the NFL Network set on Thursday evening as they were preparing for, well, they were doing essentially their pregame for the Thursday night kickoff. He was actually asked whether or not he thought it was a big deal. And yeah, he's like, it was just weird. It was weird the way that Joe Burrow picked up his water bottle. I didn't like it. Just pick up your water bottle normal, whatever that means. So they had an entire discussion about how Joe reached down next to the bench where he was sitting and picked up his water bottle over the top, kind of with his, almost like a backhand, as opposed to just picking it up, like gripping it. But still, though, I think it was more about where he was sitting and the angle down to the ground, the fact that he was kind of leaning forward. Ridiculous is what I have to say. So Joe laughed about it. I don't know if we have that cut, but he did laugh about the fact that people were analyzing how he picked up his water bottle on Thursday, or not Thursday, sorry, on Sunday when the Bengals were falling to the Patriots. Now, I would say they have much bigger problems than how he picked up his water bottle. The issue, of course, that they they were really terrible offensively. They had a couple of bad turnovers, one being right on the goal line at the end of the first half when it looked like they were going to get on the board before the break. They did not score in the first half. The offense was really disrupted by the Patriots' defense. And so now it's about getting to the point where they can find some type of rhythm and flow. And so this is going to be a tough challenge for them. Had they beaten the Patriots at home in their season opener, maybe this doesn't feel more like a must win. I don't believe in must wins in week two. But in their particular case, they've struggled to start seasons. So this would be a huge boost for them, a huge confidence boost for them. I know we do have some Burrow, but I don't have it on my sheet if you think it's appropriate.
Well, it's a more conventional cut. It's him talking about the Chiefs and their elite defense.
They're going to stop the run. They're going to try to limit explosives. Their secondary is really good, and they're going to tackle really well. You know, we know that it's going to be a challenge.
It is. I actually prefer him laughing about the fact that people were scrutinizing the way he picked up his water bottle. it's much more Joe Burrow humor. These are kind of funny things that he does. He once went to a press conference wearing the wrong jersey, so he somehow ended up with the practice jersey of the backup QB. Can't remember who it was at the time. He's funny. He really does have a sense of humor. And he laughed about the whole water bottle incident. I don't know. I was just picking up my water bottle.
The jersey thing sounds more like a prank than anything else.
Yeah, he actually didn't know. Or if he did know and somehow somebody got him, he was completely oblivious until he got out to the press conference. I don't think he's that good of an actor. I could be wrong. I don't think he's that good of an actor.
No, I've seen his press conferences. He's not that good as an actor.
So now you've got Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, who have their second consecutive game at home. This is supposed to be one of the competitors in the AFC that is a threat to the Chiefs. I've asked this question so many times of different analysts that we've had here on the show over the last, say, 4 months. Who or what poses the greatest challenge to the Kansas City Chiefs in 2024? And a lot of people will tell you that the Bengals are one of those teams because they've had success against them in the Patrick Mahomes era.
I think you just see a raise in intensity just because you know that these games are going to matter at the end of the year. Obviously, it's early in the season. Everybody's working through stuff. Everybody's trying to get better and better. But you know that this could be a tiebreaker or whatever you want to call it at the end of the year that determines seeding on playoffs. And so it's definitely a rise in intensity, especially in these games against other contenders.
Teams like this play each other. It's just it's a different tempo, you know, for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know why, but that's how it goes.
They certainly know. At Arrowhead, the place will be loud. It will be, I don't want to say intimidating to the Bengals, but it will force them to adjust, of course, whether it happens to be silent snap counts or whether they're having to work on their communication this week with loud music blaring in their own stadium. It's really important for them to get that communication down. They looked very disjointed offensively in their opener against the Patriots. So what could this Chiefs defense have in store for them? Ja'Marr Chase, a lot of people still trying to figure out how it is that he did not end up with the deal that would pay him before they started the season. I mean, there were a lot of reports out there that the Bengals were willing to make him the highest paid receiver in the NFL, or at the very least that they would make him a receiver that would pay him as much as what Justin Jefferson is getting per season. So you've got a couple of different reports that they offered him a 4-year, $140 million extension, which would have paid him $35 million per season. So right there with Justin Jefferson for the highest paid receiver in NFL history. But it was more than that. And again, according to multiple reports and on Sports Illustrated, this is one of them, Chase didn't like the structure of how the guaranteed money was set up in the contract. So what he wanted was to have the money paid out sooner. And what the Bengals wanted was to string out the guarantees, right? So it has to do with how much money counts against the salary cap, how much money then they have to spend on other deals. The Bengals wanted to stretch out the guarantees through 2027, whereas Jamar wanted that more of that money up front. All right, so that offer, again, this is according to SI, James Rapine, I believe, is the insider. The Bengals had $90 million in practical guarantees plus a $30 million signing bonus. So the money was a little bit less in terms of the guarantees, but he was willing to take it as long as it was paid closer to the front end of the contract as opposed to being siphoned out, if you will, over the life of the contract. But yeah, the different ways that this money adds up against the salary cap, it can limit how a team then pays other players. But also, it affects when a team can dump a player too, if that makes sense. And I know that's a tough word, but it does affect when they can cut a guy without having to owe him or having money to count against the cap. So if they string it out over the life of a contract, well then you are beholden to this player for longer, though you don't have to pay as much money up front. But if you pay a guy early with the guaranteed money, well, then it counts earlier and, you know, it has more of a hit if you would try to get out of it. Think like Russell Wilson with the Broncos and how much of a hit they took in that deal. But at the same time, you're done with the guaranteed money earlier. So there are benefits to both of those different structures. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page too, what's the After Hours game of the week? Like is usually the case, I vote for the least popular among the peeps. Got to go record my sports minute, and then we'll continue with our week two look ahead. Just bummed about Tua. That's really the big thing. Kind of casts a dark shadow, a big heavy cloud, especially over the Dolphins. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. Let's begin with Thursday Night Football.
Here's the snap. Handoff goes to Cook and a work through the middle. Through a hole and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Flips into the end zone for the touchdown. 49 yards for James Cook. His third touchdown of the game. And it is a raucous celebration on the Buffalo sideline. Oh, my.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Bills over the Dolphins, 31-10. Bills running back James Cook, two touchdown runs and a touchdown catch. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa left the game in the third quarter with a concussion when he lowered his head and ran at the Bills safety DeMar Hamlin. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel was asked if Tua should be able to continue playing football after yet another concussion.
For me to go ahead and forecast things that I don't know in my non-field of expertise, I don't think that's appropriate.
Skylar Thompson came in to replace Tagovailoa. Now to baseball, extra innings in New York.
2-2. Soto grounds it towards the middle. Base hit for Soto. 30 around third. Rafaela comes up throwing on a hop. Birdie slides. Save. Juan Soto wins the game. He flings his helmet in the air. The magical Juan Soto does it again. It's walk-off week at the stadium. The Yankees win it 2-1 in 10.
Emmanuel Barbari on Yankees Radio. Elsewhere, the Brewers over the Giants 3-0, Rangers 5, Mariners 4, the Rockies over the Tigers 4-2, Marlins 6, Nationals 3, Rays beat the Guardians 5-2, the Cardinals over the Reds 6-1, Astros beat the A's 6-3, WNBA New York over Dallas 99-67, college football Arizona State over Texas State 31-28, South Alabama beat Northwestern State 87-10. I'm Peter Schwartz.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I appreciate listening to you on my ride home from work. I'm a bartender. It's always a joy to get off work and hear your voice and know that you're always there.
Hey, what's up, Amy? I love listening to your show.
Thank you.
I bartend in Pittsburgh. As soon as the last customer leaves the bar at like 2 o'clock, I put on your show and it makes my night beautiful.
Yes.
I listen to you leaving work, and then 3 hours from now, I listen to you driving to work.
That's a really long day and not much turnaround time.
You make it that easy. I DJ till 2:30 in the morning, and then I get up and work a day job.
You're my hero.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Let's celebrate. We're gonna have a good time. What is the After Hours game of the week? You can find that poll at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page named After the Show. I'm not sure if you saw the numbers from the first week of the NFL season, but you want to talk about celebrate. This is what the NFL front offices are doing. Owners, commissioner, anyone who's associated with the league, they continue to make money hand over fist. And I call it the Midas touch. The NFL is a cash cow. And as much as people protest about the streaming, and I certainly understand, I don't have access to all the streaming services that the NFL will be using coming up this season. I do not have Netflix, neither does my husband. So those games I'll be listening to on the radio or catching them after the fact on NFL Network, which I continue to tell you, after these games are done, the NFL Network re-airs them. So they're on streaming first, but then they end up on NFL Network within hours. So I've seen Bills and Dolphins. They're now replaying it a second time on NFL Network since the game stopped or since the game ended. But because the league is making so much money with streaming and because the viewership numbers are up, there's no going back, nor is there any way they're going to give up some of these days of the week. Now that the Christmas games are so popular, Christmas is a Wednesday this year. Do they care? Hell to the naw, they do not. So you've got games on Christmas Eve, Tuesday, games on Wednesday, Christmas Day. We know there was a game on Friday in Brazil to start the regular season. So that Thursday, Friday kickoff last weekend. So yeah, they're playing on all 7 days this year and just fine with them. You can complain all you want, but people are still tuning in. Week one of the NFL season averaged 21 million viewers across both TV and streaming. That is up 12% from a year ago. 12%. And this is with streaming, right? So people are getting games on Paramount. Sometimes, and it's not like out of market games, but if you're in a market and you don't have access to, let's say, CBS, the local CBS is carrying your game, your in market game, you can catch it on Paramount instead. Also, they've got the Fox. I mean, there's a different Fox Sports streaming. You've got access through the NFL Plus going back and streaming after the fact too, but you can also live stream the local games on NFL Plus. So there's a lot of different ways to get the games that are in your market. But even out of market games, we know that people are paying exorbitant amounts of money for YouTube to be able to get the Sunday ticket, just the access to every game, right? So across all the different platforms, both TV and streaming, week one averaged 21 million viewers. That's per game, right? We're not even talking about the big games, the nationally televised games. 21 million viewers, up 12% from last year and the highest on record. The NFL figure includes first party streaming, right? So that means the viewership that is happening in that moment as the game is being broadcast live, though, weirdly enough, doesn't include Peacock. So I'm not really sure why that's the case. But according to Sports Media Watch, when you include the Peacock game from Friday night, it's still a 19 million viewership. Well, that sounds awkward. 19 million people on average. So Peacock brings it down a little bit. But if you include that, it's still over 19 million viewers per game. And that's up 5% from last year, right? So Peacock, maybe because it's brand new, because it was a Friday night, because it was coming from Brazil, whatever the case, it doesn't really matter. Even if you throw in the Peacock in the Friday game, which was different for fans, 19 million viewers, up 5% from last year in week one. Yeah, so the lower-rated Peacock game kind of drags down the average. But the rest that you get on CBS and Fox, and of course we had the NBC kickoff on Thursday night, all of those things, humongous. That Ravens-Chiefs game on NBC, 29 million viewers. 29 million viewers. There is no other show, no other than like political stuff right now. Like the debate, I think, averaged more viewers this week. But there's no other programming that you can find. Not the most popular cop drama, not the most popular comedy, not anything that you can find anywhere that is getting the kind of numbers that the NFL is. Largest combined audience yet for the kickoff game, Ravens and Chiefs. More than 29 million viewers. Goodness. So early in the season. Think about where they go from here. They just continue to build. Continue to build. This is kind of funny, actually. Cowboys-Browns, which was Tom Brady's debut on Fox, 24 million people tuned in. And I'm sure it's not because of Tom Brady. It's because of the Cowboys mostly, but also the Browns. But that's up in that same window with that same network, up 47% from last year. 47%. Okay, maybe it's some Tom Brady. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Like I say, the NFL is the league every other league wants to be when it grows up. They've got major envy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.